With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's EvoStick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be looking back at the FA Cup run of Stourbridge with Adam Parks from Black Country Radio. We'll be looking forward to the FA Trophy run of Matlock Town as we speak to Craig Hopkins. We'll be discussing Nantwich Town with Johnny Crowther. We'll be discussing Ilkeston with Mark Duffy. We'll be looking back at all the Premier Division matches from the past weekend with Swamper, and James Hasley's on too. All of that and a little bit more on this week's EvoStick Extra. So, welcome everybody to this week's EvoStick Extra. Very shortly, we're going to be hearing from Craig Hopkins at Matlock Town about that big FA Trophy match this weekend. We've also got a fixture review from all last weekend's matches in the league with Swamper and James Hayes, and a few journalists are joining me later on for a fixture preview for this weekend's matches in the Premier Division. But before that, there's only one place we can start, and that's the FA Cup. And obviously, to get to the third round is meteoric for a team at step three. And Stourbridge have been absolutely glorious. And joining me now to discuss just how glorious they've been this season thus far, and if it can continue, we're now joined from Black Country Radio by the welcome return. It's Adam Parks. Hello, Adam. How's things?
Hiya, Ben. Nice to talk to you.
So, Saturday's results, very, very unlucky. Stourbridge, very unlucky. How was it for you?
They were unlucky because for large parts of the game, they dominated possession, they dominated territory, and Wickham certainly showed them a lot of respect in the first half. They came out all guns blazing though in the second half and got that early goal a couple of minutes in. But Stourbridge never gave in and got their heads down and were well rewarded by that Dan Scar goal with about 20 minutes to go. And we thought, hey, we've got a bit of a shock on here. We could have a replay, get Wickham Wanderers back to Amblecote. But unfortunately, the beast that is Mr. Akinfenwa had other ideas, and he directed a well-placed header into the back of the net with about 7 minutes to go. And unfortunately, that was the dream shattered once and for all.
Now, it would have been like proper fairyland stuff if you did get the replay, but you were close. But I think the thing to take from it is that it's a memorable cup run, and it'll live long in the memory, won't it, this cup run that Stourbridge have been on.
I interviewed Gareth Ainsworth, the Wickham manager, after the game, and he was very full of praise, not only for the team but for the Stourbridge fans as well. The fact that 2,500 had made their way down the M40 to support their side, and it was just a brilliant party atmosphere, a carnival atmosphere from the fans, and it was just what FA Cup football is all about. For a neutral, it was actually a very good cup tie, but for a Stourbridge fan, it's a day that they'll never forget.
And they did, like you said there, you spoke to the manager. I spoke to the Supporters Trust chair at Wickham Wanderers, Trevor Stroud. Here's what he had to say.
But I do have to say, I mean, they really gave a great account of themselves on and off the field. We were fortunate to get the win. We have Ali Bayak in Femwa, and when he's in your side, you've always got something up your sleeve, and he got the winner for us. But they are a credit to football, and I believe there's a real bond now between us and Stourbridge. And hopefully that will continue. They want us to do well and we want them to do well.
So, like you said with the manager, Trevor Stroud, the Supporters Trust chairman at Wickham, full of praise for the Stourbridge fans and the club as a whole, and hopeful that there could be a relationship built there between the two clubs. So it's cracking to see. And you know, people always go on about the magic of the FA Cup and that kind of thing while the BBC is showing Premier League clubs. But right there, you've got two clubs showing respect to one another and building friendships. And that's what the FA Cup should be about, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you've got to remember is Wickham Wanderers are suffering financially themselves. So the fact they're in the fourth round and have got that excellent tie at White Hart Lane against Spurs is brilliant for them. It's a shame it couldn't be Stourbridge. But Wickham, everyone was very friendly when we went there on Saturday. And good luck to them in the next round.
Now, speaking of next, Skelmersdale United against Stourbridge. They don't call it Stormy Corner for nothing. we'll wait and see. Time of recording, it's Thursday. I'm in Manchester and it's raining, it's not snowing, so we'll have to wait and see. Obviously check Twitter and all that kind of thing. But Stourbridge now all eyes on the league. They've been threatening this for a couple of seasons now, Stourbridge. Is it time to deliver, do you feel, for Gary Hackett's men? They really do have to start knocking on the door for the playoffs now, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They're 5 points off the playoffs as we speak. And it's a difficult game because Kilmersdale, although they're really struggling at the bottom of the table, aren't going to roll over and die. They were very physical when they came to Amblecote back in November. And I think it's going to be a difficult game, actually. Skelmersdale are going to fight for the points and are certainly going to try and stop Stourbridge from getting closer to the playoff places. It's one of those games where you hope that Stourbridge can get out of it unscathed as far as, you know, injuries and whatever are concerned, because I do think it'll be that kind of physical battle.
Well, Adam Parks from Black Country Radio, blackcountryradio.co.uk for all your Black Country needs, and the sports department at that radio station are absolutely glorious. We should put it on record. Adam Parks, a big congratulations to you and everyone involved with Stourbridge for the season thus far. It's back to the grindstone now, and we wish you all the best of luck in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for your time.
So, from the FA Cup now to the FA Trophy. And obviously, to get to the third round of the FA Cup, that's very, very historic for a Step 3 non-league side. But in the FA Trophy, this team are going to get to Wembley. I'm fully committed to this. Matlock Town, no problem at all. And joining me now to confirm my suspicion of trophy success this season, we're now joined by one of the joint managers. It's the welcome return from Matlock Town of Craig Hopkins. Hello, Craig. How's things?
Hello, Ben. Good afternoon, mate. I'm pleased to hear that. I'm pleased to hear we get into Wembley. That's great.
No problem at all. It's all nailed on now. No. we'll get to the match against Barrow in a second or two. But just a mention for the league form going into this. It's very competitive up at the top end. There's only a couple of clubs who seem to be putting runs together at the moment, but Matlock Town firmly in the mix.
Like you say, Ben, it's so tight up there. I firmly believe there's probably still 12, 13 teams in with a shout of, you know, getting to March in with a chance of doing something. So, yeah, it is so tight. I mean, our game with Corby showed that last week. I mean, the bottom of the league, they've come to our place and beat us, and rightly so. You know, they deserve the win. So I think it just shows you how tight the league is.
And we spoke to a journalist from that neck of the woods last week about after the Spennymoor result, Corby Town. Yeah. It looks like it's all clicked now at Corby, and you just come across them at the wrong time of the season, it feels.
Possibly so, Ben. I mean, they work so hard. I know Gary Mills, their manager, I know how hard he's been working to get the right players in. And they put a proper shift in, Ben. Every single one of them gave everything for 90 minutes. And yeah, they got what they deserved.
Now, there's a chance now to focus minds. Obviously, you've got to leave the league to one side. And this weekend, you're travelling up to Cumbria, North Lancashire, whatever you want to call it nowadays, yeah. For Barrow against Matlock Town. We're recording this on Thursday. The match is still on. It's a rugby league pitch, so I reckon it's going to take a lot for the match to be called off. What are you expecting this weekend from Barrow?
I know Paul Cox as well, Ben. I played with him. I played with him at Kettering for a couple of years, so I know him well. I've seen his teams play over the last 10 years or so, and you always get committed teams. They'll be big, strong, organised, with a little bit of flair in there. So his teams always play the same well. They're always successful. So we're expecting a real, real tough game.
And obviously they had an FA Cup match this past week, and I was reading comments in the local newspaper. He said Barrow need to toughen up and harden up their game. And could that play into your hands somewhat? Because Matlock Town are no mugs.
I'm not really sure, Ben. You never know. You never know what's best. Whether you're going to play a team that are on a good run and possibly take you lightly, or I mean, Barrow have lost three games on the trot, but those three games, you know, they're playing good teams. They're playing Rochdale and they're playing Gateshead and Southport. You know, they're playing good sides. So I don't think their form really makes too much difference, if I'm honest. It's just all we can concentrate is us making sure we go there and we're fully prepared and we have a real good go.
And what's the mood like at the club at the moment? Obviously, we know about the Dinanga chant. I'm not sure who came up with it, but it's doing well. And everything else at the club, it feels like the club's got a spring in its step this season. And not just that, the Peak District in general, the Boxing Day Derby at Buxton, well attended. It feels like the whole non-league scene in that area is doing well at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Buxton are absolutely flying, aren't they? You look at their home form, it's incredible. But yeah, there's a good feel around Matlock at the moment. It's a good club. We've got a set of young lads who are really keen to do well, Ben. They're working really hard. They've worked really hard from the first day of pre-season. And you know, even when we're getting beat last Saturday to Corby, it weren't through lack of effort. Corby were just better on the day. You know, we've got a hard-working bunch of lads. So, yeah, I think things are ticking along nicely at the moment, Ben.
Well, this weekend, Craig, we wish you all the best of luck. Flying the flag for the Northern Premier League. Best of luck to you, Craig, and to Glenn and everyone at the club. Go into Barrow this weekend. We've got you back. We hope you win and we hope you make it through to the next round and we'll definitely have you back on. No worries at all, Craig.
Brilliant. Top man. Thanks for your time, Ben.
So a big, 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 big good luck to Matlock Town this weekend and away trip to Barrow in the FA Trophy second round. Very shortly, we're going to be speaking to James Hayes as well as Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio all about Nantwich and Ilkeston Advertiser's very own Mark Duffer. But before that, it's now time to look back at last weekend's fixtures in the NPL Premier Division. And to do that, well, we've got a nice little treat for you. Here's me and Swampy at Winsford United's ground on Tuesday night for that Cheshire Cup match that, well, it was a bit of a non-league celebrity bash, to be fair. There was loads of... It was like a who's who of non-league correspondents. 1874 Northwich against Northwich Victoria in the Cheshire Cup. Here's myself and Swampy reviewing last weekend's fixtures.
So, hello and welcome everyone to this week's edition of Evo Stick Extra. Later in the show, we're going to be hearing from James Hayes with a full fixture preview for all the snowed-off Premier Division matches this coming weekend. Disclaimer, check your website before leaving on Saturday. But anyway, you join us here on a Tuesday night in mid-Cheshire somewhere. In fact, no, I'm going to tell you where we are. We're at the home of Winsford United for a Cheshire Cup match between 1874 Northwich and Northwich Victoria. Swampy's back in the country and we just decided, you know what, let's go to that match. And joining me now here from Winsford, we're joined by the welcome return of Swampy. Hello, Swampy.
Good evening, Ben.
It's 1-0 here, but it's the Cheshire Senior Cup, so we'll let you know what happened at full time. But anyway...
You won it to who?
Oh, I've not even said 1874. Don't you know this, sir? 1874 are 1-0 up at half time.
I'm sure everybody actually has been on the cusp watching this result this evening anyway. So, 1-0 at half time here at Winsford.
Well, let's go to what happened on Saturday now. And it's a very exciting title race at the moment. It's a very exciting playoff race. It's a very exciting mid-table battle. It's a very exciting relegation battle at the moment. But we'll start off at the top. Buxton, my beloved Buxton Swampy, have shot to the top of the table on goal difference alone with a very handy 4-2 away win at Hales Owen.
Well, listen, I mean, Buxton have been thereabouts all season and they're having a very, very good time of it at the moment. An away victory against Hales Owen by 4-2 shows that, you know, they're not only are they good on their home turf, but now they're getting the results from away from home. And, you know, it's going to be very hard to stay where they are simply because of the other teams that are around them. But, you know, they've been up there for long parts of the season. They've been top for quite a number of, you know, for a little while. And then Whitby came along and took over that top mantle. So, you know, it's going to be tougher. There's plenty of games to go. But we know Buxton's a very, very Silverlands is a hard place to go to. And, you know, there's a bit of a slope on the pitch as well, which can play to the advantage of the home team. And, you know, they're doing what they need to do. We talked about them earlier in the season with the kind of quality players that they were getting. They lost a few players because, you know, there's a lot of talent up there, and it'll be just interesting to see how they, you know, maintain it for the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, in a good position, and you know, I'm sure they're very, very happy where they are at this moment in time, even beat on goal difference.
And just to let you know about Hales Owen are now, there's 8 points from relegation, but they've still got 3 games in hand as well, so we'll keep an eye on that. But anyway, Buxton have gone top because last week's leaders, Rushall, they were beaten away from home 2-0 against Workington. Workington blowing hot and cold, but Workington are now up to 7th in the league table, and Rushall down to 2nd.
The one thing about Workington, if they don't make the playoffs this season, will still have a major influence on this division, because we know the quality of Workington. It's a long, arduous journey to get up there as well, but they've got some quality players, and they'll be thereabouts again themselves. You know, they've missed out over the last 3 or 4 seasons, and they had a poor start to the season, and they're climbing the table steadily, and it's one of those teams that go unnoticed. But a big result for them against Rushall, as you say, who have been this season absolutely superb. But at the same time, you know, can Workington maintain it, blowing hot and cold? They need if they get a run of 3 or 4 games.
Shall we ask somebody?
We can ask somebody.
Well,
yeah, why not?
BBC Cumbria caught up with Dave Hewson after the match, so let's see what Dave had to say.
Well, Dave, well done. That was a very, very good performance, good team performance against the league leaders.
Yeah, very, very pleased. I thought, to a man, they were absolutely outstanding. Their effort and the work rate, intensity and energy was phenomenal from the first whistle. I'm a firm believer in you get your rewards for hard work, and I think that's exactly what's happened today. Put on top of that, the quality that we've got. I just think it was an all-round fantastic team performance, and we thoroughly deserved the 3 points.
Some good football as well. A lot of effort, a lot of good work defensively, you said, but some good football in the first half.
Yeah, that's it. We've got that quality in the team, and when you give boys the licence to go and express themselves, and when they're confident, and when they want to get on the ball and want to pass it and want to play properly, then we look a good side. It's about consistency, though, isn't it? There's no point seeing it every once in a while. So we've set our stall out there. If that's what we're going to get every week from the boys, then so be it. You know, we won't go far wrong.
It's great to bounce back with a win against the league leaders after losing at Blyth, again, possibly that we didn't deserve to lose.
Yeah, exactly. It shows a lot about the character of the squad, and we asked for big characters today and for lads to stand up and be counted, and yeah, the top of the league, but they're coming to Borough Park. This is our home pitch. So it's more about what we do, and we take the game to them, and I think that's exactly what we did from the start. Luckily for us, it worked. I just felt like everyone was at it, and when you've got 1 to 11, 12 even at it, then, like I say, we're a good side. We are a good side, and we'll do well if we continue to play in that way.
BBC Cumbria there, speaking to Dave Hewson. Big thank you to the lovely people there up in Cumberland. You're all lovely people. 3 points from the playoffs are Workington at the moment, yeah. So there you go. A good professional win too for Blyth Spartans away at Colville. Robbie Dale getting a fourth minute winner in that one. Puts them up to 3rd in the league. Now 2 points off the top of the table with 3 games in hand. Very much in box seat, aren't they?
Listen, they're a team that I've enjoyed watching over many, many seasons when FC were in the Northern Premier Division, but equally I've seen them since FC have got into the Conference North, and they are the team really to beat. They've got the pedigree, they've been there and thereabouts for again 3 or 4 seasons now. Robbie Dale scoring goals again for them, obviously with a new management team there, and they're just continuing in their winning ways, and Blyth really are a team that at some stage have to get to the next level, and this season it could be their turn. We don't know. I mean, either through the playoffs again, you would fancy them to be, you know, certainly in the playoffs, if not winning the division outright, because there's some quality up there, and at the same time, you know, they've got the experience, and they'll maintain that, I think, now to the end of the season.
The curse of Evo Stick Extra has struck again this past weekend. Ashton 3, Whitby Town 1. That sees Whitby Town drop to 4th. Same number of points now as Blyth Spartans, but they played 3 games more. Still much of a muchness, though, in it up at the top between them, Rushall and Buxton in a way, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, the thing about Whitby is they've overachieved this season, you'd suggest, because, you know, last season they were, you know, near the relegations, or the season before they struggled as well. This season they've been absolutely tremendous, and, you know, I think again a club, you know, in the middle of nowhere, in a beautiful place is Whitby, but at the same time, you know, they've dropped off a little bit, but again, if they make the playoffs this season, that will be an absolute major achievement for the football club. And again, they're a great family-run football club, great support, you know, and a great ground there as well. And you know, you want them to do well. And I say, just dropping off a little bit, but I say no games in the Northern Premier are easy. I mean, Ashton, you know, a tough cookie to crack on many occasions, and you know, it wasn't to be Whitby's day, but I'm sure they'll come good again. And I would have thought a playoff position is there or thereabouts for them. Even again, though, the league's not an impossibility either.
No, absolutely not. And well, Spennymoor have now got back into the playoffs. This is how crackers it is. Last week we were thinking, oh, maybe spending more. You know, they've dropped a bit, 3 points there against Corby, where they should be winning Mealer. But they bounced back this past week, moved back into the playoff positions. 2 points back from Whitby Town with two games in hand. They've done that with a very impressive 4-2 win at home to Hensford.
Yeah, and I mean, Hensford have been doing well. They were just off sort of like that position. No,
your pick for the Champions League.
My pick for the league, it was, yeah. I thought I had to go with someone different this season. You know, as a football club, you know, Spennymoor have got big plans, big ideas, and the next step for them is certainly the Conference North. That's what they'll be looking at. They've seen the other teams in and around where they are in geographically, and they want to be part parcel of that. So, you know, again, playoffs not in any way, shape or form impossible for them. At the same time, you know, other clubs are sort of like on the tails now, so it'll be interesting to see. But they'll have the confidence to move forward. And as I say, I mean, it's so tight up there. I mean, to have five teams are getting nigh on impossible to predict. But again, Spennymoor will be feeling confident that they can go and do something.
Well, let's hear now from Jason Ainsley after that match, speaking to Spennymoor Town FC.
Jay, is that the reaction you were after?
Yeah, it certainly was. The lads who came in today, you know, we changed a little bit of the shape, but all I'm asking for is effort and desire and commitment, you know, because I think the quality is in that dressing room. I don't think we got that at Corby, and I think we got the reaction that we were looking for.
But Corby seemed to turn things around. I mean, they beat Matlock today, so maybe it wasn't such a big shock after all.
Well, I don't want to dwell on that. I mean, it was a case of, I don't think we turned up, to be honest, Mike, but today we certainly did. I thought we were excellent from start to finish. You know, Nathan, who's been out in the cold, I thought was a perfect foil for Glenn, who I think them two terrorised the back four today, and on another day could have had four or five. But, you know, the midfield, Shane and Rob, who came in the middle, the effort and commitment and desire, you know, was there to see. And the two lads, Sparky, his work effort and some of his quality on the ball was excellent, and so was Mitch. So, you know, we're really delighted with that. But that's what we can do, and that's the frustrating thing, is we need to make sure that we start putting four and five, six game runs together, because if some team does that, then they won't be far away, and we've got to make sure that we don't get too despondent when we lose, and we don't get too high when we win. It's a big 3 points for us today against a tough side, but we know, you know, we need to make sure that one game undefeated goes to 2-3.
Yep, still very much up there, but like you say, I just need to put that run together now.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we have been putting a run. We've had four games where, you know, got 10 points out of 12, but we let ourselves down against Corby and reacted in the right manner, which we normally do. We normally tend to do that after a defeat. So delighted with the performance today. I thought on a very difficult pitch, it was heavy. The lads have come up really well today, and I thought there was some great football and great entertainment for the crowd, because I think it was, you know, six goals, it could have been 10, and I think credit to both sides. I thought it was a good performance by us against a good side.
That's brilliant, Jay. Thanks so much.
So, Spennymoor Town FC there on YouTube, a big thank you. Speaking to Jason Ainsley, the manager at Spennymoor Town. And as we heard in that interview there, Corby have stunned a few people in the last couple of weeks. We spoke to John Dunham last week from the Northants Telegraph, and he's looking at that squad now thinking, you know what, they could do something. Matlock Town were in the playoff positions last week. They're not in the playoff positions anymore. They hosted Corby Town, and Corby Town won by 2-1.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Second win in a trot, that.
It is with Corby, yeah. I mean, you know, they've got to go on a big run now, Corby, to sort of like get away from the danger zone. And, you know, two terrific results for them. A big result against Matlock Town. As you say, they were in the playoffs until that defeat against Corby. But as we keep saying, you know, regardless in this division, there's no easy games. And, you know, Corby are fighting for their lives. We know the situation they've been in over the last few seasons. And they'll be looking at it now saying, you know, we've...
Doesn't it say something? The Christmas special, everyone round the table at the NPL was at the NPL show. I was basically the same. I think Corby had done.
Yeah, but what
they're
do
now,
you know?
They're now third bottom.
They are, yeah, and you know, two or three more results for them, they'll be out of that sort of like bottom four. Obviously, the bottom three at this moment in time, and they're fighting for their lives. I think there's a realization. It's, you know, it's a club with a history, and it's a club that really has been on a downward spiral. They've seen other clubs that have done this, you know, like the likes of Hyde and Drosden and Colwyn Bay. And I don't think they want to be in that position. They don't want to go further and further down the pyramid. So, you know, they're making a fist of it at this moment in time. The next month may define their season, so we'll have to wait and see till it's like the next three or four games. But again, they're on the right track, moving forward, so, you know, let's see what happens.
Well, after Bank Holiday Monday's games, Corby were 8 points from safety. They stay 8 points from safety, even with that win. That's because Frickley were playing Skemmin, a bit of a relegation six-pointer. And Frickley came out on top, winning by 3-2. See Skem go bottom of the table. We'll hear your thoughts in a second, but here's Lee Morris, manager at Frickley, speaking to Frickley Athletic TV on YouTube after that match.
Obviously, first question, Gaffer, your thoughts on today's match? keep it clean.
Yeah, I suppose James is it on it, a bit of up and down emotions. First half, we weren't good enough by a long way, that's going forward. Defending, passing, you know, when teams go down to 10, it's more difficult to play because they just basically shut up shop. They put two banks of four behind the ball and just said basically break us down, and we wasn't good enough to break them down today at first half. We had to change our tactics and strategies out for the second half, and luckily they worked. We switched off for a couple of minutes, but luckily enough we got over the line with 3 points, so I'm happy.
Last time we talked, we just tanked Ilkeston 4-0, as easy a game as you like. We've just got a scrappy 3 points. What's another 3 points in it for another team that's in and around us? So
yes, exactly. I've just said to him in there, I'd have took it before the game. If we'd have played it out piece by piece, we'd have took it because it's 3 points. And now I think we've gone 6 points clear at relegation because Sutton had played, which is massive. You know, with Sutton to play and Corby to play still, the next two home games, I believe. Yeah. We're in a good place, you know. Performances, again, still up and down, consistency levels aren't good enough at the moment. But in football, last week I thought we deserved something. We didn't get anything. Yeah. Today, I take my hat off to Skem because I think they deserve something out of the game.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, that's football, and that's why we all love it, and that's why we all keep coming. But the pleasing bit is, you know, 3 points.
So, Lee Morris there, and a big thanks to Frickley Athletic TV. Frickley are keeping their heads above water. Skelmersdale United are, what do you reckon?
Well, I mean, Frickley, the one disadvantage Frickley have at this moment in time is they've played a few more games than the teams around them. But the one thing, we're talking about the very top, the very bottom, they used to be in the relegation dogfights. They know how to sort of like survive and get out of it.
They keep picking up good results.
They do pick up good results. And, you know, I would suggest they're going to be pretty okay this season. But again, as far as Skem are concerned, well, two seasons ago, at the top for most of the season, then fell off out of the playoffs. The season before, pretty similar. This season, it's just completely gone horribly wrong for them, budget-wise.
It leaves them 10 points from safety. Yeah. They've got two games in hand around most of the teams around them, but still it's...
They have, yeah. It's going to be very, very difficult for, I think, for Skelmersdale this season to stay in the division. What they need to do is perhaps, you know, if the next two or three results go against them in the same way, then they're going to have to look for next season, look to regroup and come back stronger because, you know, it's a very, very tough division, and at this moment in time, it looks like they're the leading contenders to be relegated.
Ilkeston as well, they suffered, their poor run of form continues. They suffered a 2-1 away defeat at Stafford. We're going to speak to Mark Duffy later on from the Ilkeston Advertiser, but it's looking a bit grim for Ilkeston. Speak to Mark Duffy and he might tell me differently later. But
He may well. I mean, the whole Ilkeston story for me is a strange one because, you know, again, two seasons ago, they were a team that were on the cusp of being into the Conference North. They were beaten in the playoff final, and then you know, last season there was a massive change in the way the club was working and how they were going to bring players on and so forth. This season, obviously, we know what happened at the beginning of the season. They hadn't played for quite a while, and then they started playing again. And I can't see them staying up. I can only see them unfortunately being relegated. And then they've got to come up with an idea and a plan of how they can cement themselves as a football club, what they want to do going forward. And I'm sure Mark's going to give us those ideas because, you know, we're not akin to them, and perhaps there is a plan in place, and hopefully, because it's a great club again, you know, great clock tower, great pitch.
Every time they clock tower.
Yeah, but great pitch, you know, and a good footballing club. And they've had trials and tribulations, you know, by losing the football club, having the football club back again. And, you know, we want all clubs to succeed and to do well. But at this moment in time, it looks like for me, their team, that will probably be relegated as well.
There is a positive from that result, though, and that Stafford Rangers are now to 16th. They've been 17th for about 4 months. Well, that, you know, onwards for them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, mid-table for Stafford this season. I think, you know, they got promoted last season, and to stay in the division...
You don't jump on this Stafford can make the playoffs argument that's going around at the minute in MPL circles.
Again, 3 or 4 good results for them. You never know what can happen. I mean, Stafford are, you know, it's a footballing town. It's a, you know, it's a big name. But, you know, big names and big... don't mean anything nowadays, really. They've got to perform on the pitch. A late run, who knows? I mean, we're in January, Ben, you know, so there's plenty of time for teams to just completely ruin everything we ever say.
Now, there's just a couple more results from Saturday we need to mention. Mickleover 0, Nantwich 1, sees Nantwich in 9th place, but they are 5 points from the playoffs with 2 games in hand. So yeah. Nantwich are not done. And they're not mid-table, are they?
No, not at all. Nantwich this season, again, they've brought in a couple of new players over the last of the weekend, and they're strengthening the squad. They're looking for playoffs this season. They're looking to get right in there. They've got everything at Nantwich. You know, they're capable of getting into the playoffs. They're capable of doing well. Mickleover have had a really good, you know, decent run, and that was a big result to go to Mickleover and Nantwich to get that result there. So, you know, it's going to be, again, it's one of those interesting ones with Nantwich, but I can see they're run continuing, and they'll be wanting looking for the playoffs this season, certainly.
And lastly but not least, like Marine 0, Barwell 0. Anything to say?
The burgers are great.
It was at Marine.
And at Marine, the burgers are great. You know, two clubs I thoroughly enjoy watching. One, a fan-owned football club, Barwell. We've been down there on quite a few occasions. And 0-0 says everything you need to know. Two teams, mid-table this season, finishing off that way, I would have thought.
Well, Swamper, thank you for joining us for this very thorough fixture review of last weekend. You go wrap up warm by standing out there in the cold.
No, Ben, I'm going back for the second half now. It's about to get underway here at Winsford, so back to the studio.
So, a big thank you there to the hospitality at 1874 Northwich. And in the end, it finished 1874 Northwich 2, Northwich Victoria 0. So, 1874 Northwich go through to the next round, and Northwich Victoria could concentrate on the league. And it's important for Northwich Victoria to concentrate on the league now, because that inevitable point deduction has come through for going into administration, and now the bottom of the league. But as they showed last night, there are good players in that Northwich Victoria team. Northwich were 18th before that point deduction, and they had got 23 points, so they are capable of winning and drawing and that kind of thing. But anyway, as we've just heard there, James Hayes now joins us. Hello, James. How's things?
Hello, Ben. How are you doing?
So this coming weekend, this fixture preview fills me with slight dread, actually, because I can't help but feel like it's a big, giant waste of time. But we're going to give it a go anyway. Now, at time of recording, we're recording this on Wednesday. It's 1:15, and I'm looking outside my window, and it's sunny. It's sunny. It's a bit windy, but it's sunny. But as the Met Office has shown, don't get used to that sunshine, dear listener, because it's going to snow.
It's been cold. Let's leave it at that in North Manchester. Yes, so,
so... Disclaimers big time on this fixture preview. Look outside your window and check Twitter, check the Facebook group, check the league website. Check that your match is on before setting off on Saturday. Weatherman and weatherwomen often get the weather wrong. I'm predicting 16 degree temperatures on Saturday and a small chance of being able to wear Bermuda shorts, we hope. Anyway, well, I hope. The listener probably doesn't. But anyway, let's go to these league matches then for this weekend. A big thank you to Swampy for his knowledge from last weekend's matches. The league table's been shook up a bit by a couple of shock results, a couple of surprise results. Buxton, though, currently out in front. And this weekend, they're hosting Hensford Town, who, in the blink of an eye, and it is literally a blink of an eye, they've gone from the playoff positions down to 10th. And I think that's been over a series of about 3 matches, it must be. It goes to show you just how competitive the top half of the table is at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Hensford have lost the last 3 games, and quite convincingly as well. It's an interesting one to see one at the same time, because both teams are blowing a little bit hot and cold. Buxton have got that tenacity just to continue and grind results out of teams when they need to. We need to remember they've not had a bad result against any of the top 5 at this moment in time this season. So moving forward from that, I think Buxton could just slightly edge this one and give Halesowen a bit more of a headache. Again, just going off the last couple of weeks, Hensford just seems to be blowing cold. They will recover for it, don't get me wrong, but it's just coming at the wrong time for them, I feel, at this moment.
Yeah, it's coming at the same time as a lot of teams around them are gathering a run together. It's only 5 points to the player positions, and I do think there is a few more twists and turns to come in the second half of the season, certainly. So Buxton out in front at the moment, same number of points as Rushall. James, I think it was you who said last week about the goal scored for Buxton being as good as a point. At the minute, that's proven to be the case. Rushall Olympic this weekend take on 16th placed Stafford Rangers. Not 17th, dear listener, 16th. Boom.
And against a Stafford team that are on form as well. We need to notice that in the last week, Rushall have now lost Alex Reid, who was the league's top goal scorer. But Stafford are on complete and utter form. They've won four out of the last five, and they're scoring goals for fun at this moment. I think Rushall could struggle, especially with just getting into that patch now where the tougher teams are coming in. This is going to be a key test for the management team there.
Now then, at the minute, Buxton and Rushall, I think they are looking over their shoulder. And Blyth Spartans are the ones they're looking at. They're in third position at the moment, 2 points back with 3 games in hand. This weekend, though, Blyth Spartans are hosting Nantwich Town. It's a very, very tricky encounter, this, for Blyth Spartans. Nantwich are very unpredictable. Before we get your thought, James, I'm going to speak now to Johnny Crowther. Well, let's welcome Johnny Crowther to the show from Redshift Radio. Hello, Johnny. How's things?
Very good, Ben. Yourself, mate?
I'm all good. So this weekend, there's a big match. It's Blyth Spartans against Nantwich Town. We brought you on because, obviously, we hear some of your interviews with Phil Parkinson a lot on this show. And Nantwich are confusing me because they're still there or thereabouts. They've got games in hand. They're not too far off the playoffs. But the form, it's in and out, isn't it, at the moment at Nantwich?
Yeah, it is. You're absolutely right. Certainly over the last month or so, it has been in and out. A couple of poor results, shall we say. But saying that, and you know me, I'm always positive when it comes to Nantwich Town, a real good 1-0 away victory at Micklover at the weekend. We've still got those games in hand. So if we can turn those games into points, we'll be right up there in the playoff positions. And I honestly believe, Ben, that the squad that Phil Parkinson and Neil Savelle have got at Nantwich Town are still really strong. It's a really strong squad. We're not conceding many goals. We just need to get on a run again. But I'm confident we'll be in the playoffs by the end of the season.
When we heard from Neil Kitching last week, obviously about that Nantwich match, and he said in that first 20 minutes, Nantwich tried to blow us away, and a lot of teams are going to come a cropper here based on that first 20 minutes. That's something that Phil Parkinson likes to do, isn't it? He likes nice, attractive, on the deck, attacking football, high-paced football. But sometimes teams come and they defend, and that's pretty much what Stafford did last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think what I would say, Ben, about that, and it's a great point you raised, I don't think the philosophy of the way that Phil Parkinson and Neil Savelle want Nantwich Town to play football is going to change. They want to play attractive football. They want to bring the crowds to the gates. They want the team to entertain the supporters. And sometimes when you're trying to maybe play out from the back a little bit more and play that bit of attractive football, you get caught out. And that has happened, certainly happened in the Stafford game. But they won't change. They won't change that philosophy. The other thing about you saying about Nantwich coming out and flying the first 20 minutes, what they also do, and this is something that really worked in the favour, is the fitness levels at the club are always really high. And it's not just the first 20 minutes, but normally the last 20 minutes of a game as well, where Nantwich go on from strength to strength. And I'm hoping that's going to go forward for the rest of the season. But it's going to be tough against, if that game does go ahead against Blyth at the weekend, that'll be really tough, because what a quality side they have up there.
It is clear where Nantwich are at the moment. Nantwich are in ninth position, but they're five points from the playoffs. They've got 2 games in hand over Spennymoor, who've got that last playoff spot at the moment. They're only 7 points behind Whitby Town, and they've got 4 games in hand over them. So it is very, very possible for Nantwich Town to get into those playoff positions this season, but they do need consistency. And this game against Blyth this weekend at Croft Park, it is one of them games where it's going to be a clear indication on where Nantwich are, I feel.
I totally agree. They'll want to go up there. They'll want to come away with 3 points. I mean, you know, that's what the aim will be. They'll always go and try and play the football and come away. But that's a tough place to go. You know, Robbie Dale, again, he's still in form, and he at Blyth.
Still scoring.
Scored last week. I think he's scored the winner, you know, and it ain't going to be easy, but they will go up there with confidence. You know, he's brought a few new players in as well to freshen things up, and that's what Parky does. You know, he tweaks his squad a bit, and that'll be important, because as I said before, I still think and I still believe this: the squad this year is stronger than last year for me. Even though we had such a good season last year, I think the squad itself is there to be seen, and hopefully the strength of that squad will help, given the fixture pile up, as you say, because at this time of year the pitches, as you know, Ben, they're cutting up, it's difficult, and you don't want to be playing two or three games a week. That's what Nantwich kind of suffered from, that FA Trophy run last year, where we got through to the semi-finals against FC Halifax, and we ended up playing three games a week, and it got too much, and we ended up missing the playoffs. But I know, speaking to Phil Parkinson and Neil Saville, they really want the playoffs this year, and I think they're good enough to do it, I really do.
And also on Tuesday night, you'll be there at the Dabba Dome. Don't like that name, but I'm gonna stick with it. The Dabba Dome for Nantwich Town against Sutton Coldfield Town. How could people listen in from afar, Johnny?
Yeah, we'll be as you know, we cover all the games, Redshift Radio. We do it via MixLR. So if you just go into the MixLR app or go into the redshiftradio.co.uk, and there's a link there which you can easily get to. Have a listen. You know, it won't be an easy game. I like Sutton Coldfield. I've got a soft spot for them. Great set of supporters as well. No game's easy, Evo Stick MPL. I say that week in, week out, but honestly, believe that. So, but, you know, Phil will have them revved up for that one. They really need to start getting this run going now and pushing towards those playoffs, because there's some top quality sides up there. You've mentioned Spennymoor. You mentioned Whitby, Rush All Olympic. We could go on and on, couldn't we, Ben?
We could.
So, you know, that's what we need to do. We need to get some points in the bag and start pushing up there, and hopefully Nantwich Town can be right in the playoff mix.
So, a big thank you there to Johnny Crowther for his thoughts going into this one. Nantwich Town, 5 points behind the playoffs now, but they do have 2 games in hand over Spennymoor Town, who are occupying that fifth spot. They have 4 games in hand over Whitby Town, who was 7 points up the road. It's difficult, this one, for Blyth Spartans at Croft Park against Nantwich.
It's a tough one to predict. So it's one of them games that both teams could effectively afford to lose, looking at the next coming games. Nantwich, after this weekend, they've got a run of 3-4 games where you'd think they should be winning them. Having said that, obviously, looking at on paper and casting everything aside, Blyth have got a lot more capability of winning this fixture. Last couple of weeks as well, with the better starting to come back from that little blip they had in the end of November, beginning of December.
And carving out a win. Robbie Dale scoring a goal in, I think it was 75th or 74th minute in the last game, taking a 1-0 win. I'd take that as something to be positive about for them. Now, this weekend, Whitby Town are currently in fourth position. I'm sorry for interviewing Whitby Town last week. In fact, no, I'm not going to keep this going. We've interviewed people and they've won the next game. It's nothing to do with this show. But Whitby Town looking to bounce back this weekend. They're travelling, though, to Halesowe in town. And given everything that's going on now down the bottom end of the table, we'll come to Corby and the like in a minute or two. But Halesowe in, we've been saying it constantly, they're 8 points ahead of the relegation places. They've got loads of games in hand, but they do have to be careful. That proves this match is going to be a bit difficult for Whitby Town.
You've got a good point there, but I think Halesowe will be looking more at the fact that they're catching Whitby off their guard at this moment in time. This isn't the same team that we were all wondering could they actually win the league a couple of months ago. The form charts, there's not much between them at this moment in time. I think Halesowe will use this as an opportunity to just cement themselves further away from the relegation fight, which they need to do.
Spennymoor Town, we mentioned them, they're in fifth position at the moment. We mentioned Halesowe. Marina in a similar position at the moment. Quietly comfortable, but a bit wary of what's going on behind them. Can't rest on the laurels at all. Spennymoor Town taking the trip down to Merseyside on Saturday. What do you think?
Now, this is, I know, even though it's similar situations as the last fixture, it couldn't be much more different between the sides. I mean, Marine are on a bit of an uplift at this moment in time, But as I just mentioned a second ago, spending more, I've got the players to be able to push forward for a good title run. And as a result, again, I can't see anything else but a spending more win.
Workington are in seventh, and well, they're coming back. every week you look at it and go, oh, Workington have blown it there. Then they win, and then they're back in it again. Workington are 3 points from the player positions. This weekend, they're hosting Michelover Sports. Michelover Sports, they've had a couple of bad results of late, but only 1-0s, a couple of 1-0 defeats. Still a very dangerous side.
I want to say Workington win, but something tells me there's going to be there could be a draw there. Just on the fact that Michelover just like to upset the odds at this moment in time.
Grantham, they're hosting Barwell. Grantham are in 8th position, only 4 points from the player position. They played a few games more than everyone else though, but we've said it in recent weeks, it's been a cracking season so far for Grantham Town, hosting Barwell. Barwell are having another cracking season as well. Now Nantwich are 9th, Hensford are 10th, Stourbridge are 11th. We've already spoken to Adam Parks on this week's show about that. Brilliant, and it is brilliant. And I know the result's disappointing, but hold your heads up high, Stourbridge. It's cracking. They've got loads of games in hand over everyone above them. The gap is 5 points to the playoff positions. That's the target now, surely, for Gary Hackett's men. And this weekend, they're travelling to Skelmersdale United, who are desperate for a result.
Yeah, it's all going to depend on what Stourbridge turn up as. The league form just proves a lot for what the Stourbridge have done this year, especially with the cup run. Nothing to be ashamed of from last week, as I just mentioned before. But again, it just depends if that... I've noticed it the last couple of times, especially with Blythe 2 years ago, about the... Nantwich last year in the FA Trophy, sorry, where it's just got to them that little bit for a handful of games after they've been knocked out. But it just depends if the Stourbridge we know can turn up, they will take advantage of Skelmersdale United. If they don't, you can see a cheeky 1-0 home win there.
Cheeky 1-0 home win.
They'll be looking there just to catch them off guard.
Where should we go to next? Let's go to this game here. It sticks out to me. Corby Town against Warrington Town. We had John Dunham on last week from the Northampton Telegraph, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, but he said he looks down at the team sheet now that Gary Mills has created there in the 3 or 4 months he's been in charge, and he looks at the team sheet and thinks to himself, that team could do something. And he reckons that if that team had started the season, they might be a lot higher up the league table. Something has clicked at Corby. And last week we said going to Matlock for Corby. Obviously, that's a difficult game. You class that as a free hit. Warrington Town, if you're going to stay up, you're going to need to get a result in that one. It's looking likely now that Warrington might be the underdog going into this one. What do you think?
Personally, I think you've got a good point there, in all honesty, because Corby, I did say they needed a miracle, and something tells me at the moment, you know what, it might have been answered, and looking at the last couple of weeks' fixtures, I could totally see Corby getting a good result out of this one. Warrington just don't look the part at this moment in time. They've lost the last 2 games, but yeah, still need a lot of work to get out of that bottom five at this moment in time, but yeah, there's a fantastic opportunity there for Corby just to go get a shot. I won't say a shock result, but it wouldn't be. To go get 3 points at this moment in time, particularly at home. Again, I don't think they'd be disappointed with a draw, but Corby should be looking for wins.
I'm going to save the really, 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 really vital match, the 6-pointer down the bottom end of the table, till last. That leaves us then now with Coalville Town against Ashton United. I think both teams are comfortable in mid-table, and as I mentioned there, we're going to save the probably game of the day, I'm going to suggest. Sutton Coldfield Town, currently 4th from bottom, hosting 2nd from bottom Ilkeston. We'll hear James Hayes' views in a second or two, but it's now time to welcome back our dear old friend from the Ilkeston Advertiser. It's Mark Duffy. Hello Mark, how's things?
Very well, how are you?
I'm all good, thank you. So there's a big, sizeable 6-pointer taking place this weekend, Sutton Coldfield Town against Ilkeston. Before we get to that match, I'd just like to catch up with yourself about Ilkeston, because we've not had you on for ages, and we've been, well, stabbing in the dark, essentially. From the outside, looking in, It looks like club's kind of gone through about three different changes during the season. Is that about right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, things started off, obviously, yes, with the suspension. It actually started in the summer, really, with some of the experienced players coming in as signings. Things looked quite good. Then, obviously, the suspension happened, and that put the first question mark over the season. Season got underway. They were doing okay, you know, picked up some reasonable points, some good wins. But then there was the decision to release the experienced players again as what they call cost-cutting measures and go full-time again with the younger squad. But ever since then, I don't think they've won a game. You're probably right, really, and it's been sort of three phases, but this third phase is proving the most troubling. And unless there's a fourth phase where things dramatically improve again, I do fear for their season, to be honest.
Now, whenever we've heard from Paul Holland in the past, because the interviews that Chris used to do at Ilkeston TV were cracking, because Paul always used to do the pre-match stuff, and it was always a case of Paul's always got this calm demeanour about him, hasn't there? Is it just a case of, obviously it's a young, inexperienced squad kind of thing, but is there a chance, like at Corby, that it could click?
It could do. I mean, you know, there's some very talented individuals in there, and it's hard really to blame the players for any of this, the players that are left. I mean, normally if a team goes that long without winning, it's 15 games now in all competitions, you start looking at the players. But really, it's harsh to do that because there are some good players, but as a team, they're just too inexperienced for what is a very tough league. Yes, it could click, and there's been signs in certain games that they play quite well. You know, for every sort of 7-0 horror show at Mickleover, there's been some good spells in games like against Matlock and Marine where they only lost by the odd goal. But it's doing that for 90 minutes and it's proving very, very difficult. And there's, you know, more and more players leave. All the top scorers they've had have gone with the exception of Lewis Rose, who's one of the teenagers who's doing very well. Malachi Lavelle Moore isn't around at the moment. Anthony Dwyer left. So a lot of the goals have left the team as well. And trying to replace that with such young players is proving really difficult. And then trying to expect them to just gel together and for it to work, it's a lot to ask, and it's a lot to ask of Paul Holland as well. Who's, to be fair to him, he's fronted up. He's getting on with it. He's doing the best he can with the resources he's got. He said himself, they're asking boys to do to play a man's game. And unfortunately, it doesn't matter how well they're playing in certain games, they're not winning, and they're in the bottom four. And if they don't get out of the bottom four, we all know what happens. So it's he's desperate for new players to come in, and he's just struggling to get them at the moment. And I mean, we'll say that, and they'll probably go and win at Sutton Coldfield now. But I sincerely hope they do. And to be fair, they have to, because it's a massive game, and Sutton Coldfield are obviously down there with them, and there's a real risk they could get cut further adrift. So yeah, because the games in hand will mean very little at this stage.
That win for Frickley on Saturday, I think, has really put things into stark contrast. Really, the gap now is 6 points between the bottom four and Frickley Athletic, and that then means that this one is a must win for both sides, with Sutton Coldfield desperate to try and claw Frickley Athletic back into things, and Ilkeston obviously they are 8 points into the relegation zone now. They do have three games in hand, so this could be the start of things. And the team talk, I think, writes itself.
It does, and I mean, Paul Holland rightly says games in hand only mean anything if you win them, and the fact is they're not winning any games. So I think games in hand are great if you're higher up the league and you're trying to win it, because your belief is that you'll pick up the points. But at the moment, I don't know the morale is particularly good, and the games in hand could be useful. You play them and you hope to get the points, and obviously Saturday isn't particularly game in hand, but it's one they'll need to win, or at least pick up a point from, which they've done in a few of this in a bit of this run. They've been picking up points here and there.
And we've seen it in the past with Frickley Athletic. I think Frickley Athletic have done it about numerous times, and Marine did it last year, that it is possible to turn it around. And I think Corby might be on their way, the way they're playing at the moment. So it is possible to turn it around. And if it does turn around, or if it doesn't turn around, the best place to go to keep abreast of all the news with Ilkeston is on Twitter with Duffers Sport, and of course the Ilkeston Advertiser, where Mr. Mark Duffy has writing privilege, that kind of thing on there. Well, Mark Duffy, thank you for coming back on the show. Good luck. Keep the blog going as well, keeping people informed of your opinions with Ilkeston. And we'll be speaking to you, I think, in the coming months. So a big thank you to Mark Duffy there for joining us. It's a very, very important game, this, for both clubs. Ilkeston do have games in hand, but like I said, it is vitally important, and both teams need to win. But unfortunately, both teams can't win. Draw, then.
Yeah, a draw would be a defeat to both teams at this moment in time as well. You've got a 6-point gap at this moment, And even though Sutton Coldfield have got the better goal difference, 6 points is a big ask. It's not the same as if it was a gap of two, three and get goal difference before, just to put that pressure on. Frickley have no game this weekend, so they've got the opportunity just to rest up, ready for the next couple of weeks, which makes it even more important at the same time. Ilkeston have to get a result this weekend, in my personal opinion.
And that concludes all the league matches for this weekend. Disclaimer, look outside your window, check Twitter, check Facebook, check club websites, check the league website, that kind of thing. But before you go, James, it's now time for this week's Integro Dudeson League Cup Dudeson Roundup. Second round roundup as well. Now, some cracking results midweek in the Dudeson. I'm just going to go through these in alphabetical order. Barwell 0, Stourbridge 2. Belper Town 2, Chasetown 4. A good result, that, for Chasetown. Bamber Bridge go through, beating Burscough by 2-0. Burscough, though, got a good league result, didn't they, like, at the weekend, I think? Big congratulations to Burscough, beating Scarborough Athletic on Saturday 1-0. An epic result, that, for bottom of the league, Burscough, proving there's life there at the Merseyside club. So now they're out the Dudeson, they can maybe concentrate on the league. So congratulations to Bamber Bridge going through to the next round. Cone 1, Trafford 1. Trafford go through 4-3 on penalties. Congratulations to them. Newcastle Town 2, Sheffield 1. Rugby Town 1, AFC Rushton and Diamonds 3. We're going to get Rushton Diamonds on the Division 1 show for January later in the month. Their run of form is very, very impressive. Rushall 0, Spalding United 2. A cracking result, that, for Spalding going through to the next round. Scarborough Athletic 3, Spennymoor Town 1. What a result that is. And Clitheroe beating Workington 2-0 away from home. What a result, that, for Clitheroe as well. So congratulations to everyone who's made it through to the next round. So next up in the Dudeson, there's some second round matches next week. I think they're on Wednesday, or is it Tuesday? They're on Tuesday, rather. Ashton United are hosting Northwich Victoria, Leek Town against Glossop North End, and Tadcaster Albion versus Shaw Lane. And just to warn you clubs out there, me and Swampy are on the lookout for a football match to go to, and Leek Town v Glossop North End has been mentioned, so stand by your beds. James Hayes, thank you for joining us this week, and you have a lovely week, mate.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We sincerely hope you've enjoyed this week's action-packed show. Next week, we'll be back with another edition. But in the meantime, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussions and chatter on the old internet. That's at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. A big, big thank you to all my guests this week, and a special thanks as well to the YouTube channels of Frickley Athletic and Spennymoor Town, and a big thank you as well to BBC Radio Cumbria. And of course, a big thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.